Why do you think Paul makes such a big thing out of not being justified by the law, my friend? Is it to relieve us of the anxiety that we can't keep the law? Or is it because we are so boastful about the law? Well, we'll look into that. Colin Cook here and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the grace of God to men and women who struggle with their humanity. That's all of us, of course, but some people struggle in specific ways like drugs or alcohol, food issues, heterosexual or homosexual addiction, and we look at how our faith intercepts these struggles so that we can trust in God, know we're still sure in Him, and know how to break down the influence of these things in our lives, bit by bit. Totally for some, partially for others. All right, we're looking at Romans chapter 3 and verse 25 and 26. Well, let me just review this. Paul is saying that because there is no righteousness in man, because the Jew is no different from the pagan, because the religious man is no different from the pagan, for all are suppressors of God, and are merely sinners by the fact that they live. The law gives us only a consciousness of sin and a knowledge of it. Because of all that, and more than because of all that, God has revealed a righteousness apart from the law. He has sent Jesus to us, and Christ is the one man for all men. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Because there's no difference, he says. All can have sinned in Adam and continually fall short of the glory of God and yet are continually being declared innocent by his grace through Jesus having bought us back, the redemption that is. And he says, Jesus talking about him, he set forth as a propitiation. God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit decided to appease their wrath against sin by taking the judgment of sin upon themselves in the person of Jesus. This was to display to the whole universe the righteousness of God, that He was merciful, that He loved justice, that He wanted to declare people innocent and at the same time make a judgment against sin. This is all in Romans 3, verses 21 to 26. And then he says, and this is the surprise which led me to ask you the question at the beginning, where is boasting then? Now, you know, Paul does so many things like this. He throws us a curveball. He throws in a sentence that seems to be completely out of context. Why would he talk about boasting? Isn't the purpose of everything he has said to demonstrate that we are freed from the judgment of the law? Well, interestingly, no. Else he would have said, where then is your anxiety to be saved by God? Fear not, you are safe, because God has saved you by his wrath. He would have given something else than this sentence. Where is boasting then? Why is he asking that question, my friend? Well, the answer is this. The Jew was not in a state of anxiety that he had not kept the law of God perfectly. The Jew was not one who was endlessly wringing his hands for fear that he would be rejected by God because he hadn't performed a perfectly righteous life yet. No, to the contrary. The Jew was self-confident. The Jew was self-satisfied, at least the Jew that Paul was talking to. You see, when he talks about the law in chapter 2 of Romans, he's talking about a man who is not trying to keep the law as trying to assert that he owns the law. Let me repeat that. The person to whom Paul was talking to in chapter 2 was not one who was trying desperately to keep the law, and Paul had to convince him that he was not obedient to it and therefore had to trust in Christ. Rather, he was one who was very confident in the law because he owned it. That is, God gave it to his nation. God imparted it to Moses. Therefore, these people, the Jew thought, must be very, very special. Now, when you listen to that, you think to yourself, well, that doesn't apply to me. I don't boast in the law. And boasting is one of those rather, I don't know, bizarre words. I mean, it's silly in a little sense, isn't it, to think of people strutting around going and boasting. We think of it more in terms of children who just boast to their friends that they have this little toy and you don't. So how can the boasting thing apply to us? Well, it's a little more subtle than that. Although, to illustrate the subtlety of it, I want to go to its extreme. Let's look at Psalm 73. This is David. Well, it's a psalm of Asaph, so maybe it's not David. But he was envious of the boastful. Now, what was he envious about? Well, he describes the dynamic of the boastful. There are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. Now, these people are apparently people who are pretty healthy throughout their lives. In another translation, it says, I was envious of the arrogant or the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. You know, these people are healthy, and so they have a pretty good independence in life. They are not in trouble as other men. Oh, so these are people that haven't experienced a lot of trouble, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. So these people have led a pretty good life. They're quite confident in their abilities and their inner reserves and strength. And as a result of that, now notice next thing, violence covers them like a garment. Oh, so these people who are boastful in the law and in their sense of independence become violent, or we might say dismissive of other people, that can lead them to violence. Their eyes bulge like with abundance. They have more than their heart could wish. They're very confident. They wonder what God is all about. Why do they need him? They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. Here are people, you see, who are so boastful, so confident, that they have attitudes of oppression. Don't think it's just the Gaddafis of the world that are oppressive. There can be bosses. You could be a boss of a company that is rather oppressive of your workforce. You could be a wife, a husband, oppressive towards his wife, or oppressive towards your children. Uncompassionate, you see. They speak loftily. They're proud, you see. They set their mouth against the heavens. Wow, they even say arrogant things that suggest they are not dependent at all upon God, and their tongue struts through the earth. Well, these people, therefore his people, return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them, and they say, how does God know? And is there any knowledge in the Most High? So you can see what boastfulness leads to in the long run. It leads to the sickly, sapid, ugly independence from God, where people can talk arrogantly and not regard God. And so, you see, what Paul is getting at when he comes to where is boastfulness then, we see where he's been getting at all the time. He has been saying, look, you religious and non-religious people, you pagans and non-pagans, your paganism and your religion have done nothing but given you a sense of independence from the fatherly love of God. These things have given you nothing but a sense of I came into this world, and I'll go out when I want, and I am master of my own fate. The boastful man has no humility. He has no gratitude. He is not one who can open his heart after seeing the beauty of the world around him and say, "Thank you, God." He's not one who can say that, because there's no gratitude. Who is he grateful towards? And so, you see, my friend, Romans, when you come to this, you're not only finding a relief from the enormous stress of trying to make yourself acceptable to God, but you're also challenged to give up independence. If I cannot be righteous by keeping the law, then my independence is removed, because my independence was to establish my own righteousness, you see, before God. My independence was to show him that I'm quite well, thank you, I don't need you very much, but only in emergencies, perhaps. But when it is truly revealed that there is no righteousness in me, that my whole life is a fraud, that I have been just a mockery to God and myself, then my heart is humbled, and I see that I have to come to Jesus for righteousness. So you might say, well, Romans has never really meant much to me. But it may be that you've been seeing Romans from the wrong angle. Yes, certainly, this book will reveal to you who are stressed by not feeling or being righteous, it will reveal to you a new way of righteousness that will bring peace to your heart. But to others it will also reveal, listen, you have been too independent. You have thought you didn't need God because you possessed the law and were fully in charge of it. But in fact, the law that you trust in is the law that condemns you. And therefore, don't trust in the law, but go to Jesus and develop a sense of gratitude that he has set you free from what you boasted in, because what you boasted in was a delusion. My dear friends, wanting to encourage you one more time to support this ministry. If you are blessed by what you're hearing, if you are being trained by it, would you give thought to supporting it financially? Could you send a donation or perhaps commit to monthly donations? And if so, by the way, any denomination of money, any amount that fits your budget, if so, then please send your first check to FaithQuest P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's FaithQuest P.O. Box 366, Littleton 80160. You can take care of it if you like on the website by PayPal, and the website is faithquestradio.com. You can also hear the broadcasts any time of the day or night there, faithquestradio.com. If you wish to take care of it by Visa or MasterCard, call me at 303-738-8694. I'll send you my Cook's Monthly message as a gratitude to you, my friend, as a thank you. And if you don't wish to receive further mailings, just let me know. That will be all right, too. Remember, you're supporting a ministry that's not just the radio broadcast, but the website also, and the quarterly seminars. There'll be another seminar coming up at the end of April, and the Monday meeting in the Englewood area for Bible study, and the counseling services available to you, spiritual faith training counseling in the Englewood area also. Thank you so much, my friends, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.